ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 9 चैप्टर 18 टेक्स्ट नंबर 38। इति लब्धाव्यवस्थाना इति लब्धाव्यवस्थाना पुत्रं ज्येष्ठम् अवोचत यदोतात प्रतिचेन्मम् जारम देहि निजम वय।
ट्रांसलेशन बाय श्रील प्रभुपाद। व्हेन ययाति रिसीव्ड दिस बेनेडिक्शन फ्रॉम शुक्राचार्य, ही रिक्वेस्टेड हिज एल्डेस्ट सन, माय डियर सन यदु, प्लीज गिव योर यूथ इन एक्सचेंज ऑफ माय ओल्ड एज एंड इनवैलिडिटी। टेक्स्ट 39। ट्रांसलेशन। माय डियर सन, I am not yet satisfied in my sexual desires, but if you are kind to me, you can take the old age given by your maternal grandfather and I may take your youth so that I may enjoy life for a few years more. Purport. This is the nature of lusty desires. In Bhagavad Gita 7.20 it is said, Kam aistir thair rita jnana. When one is too attached to sense gratification, he actually loses his sense. The word rita jnana refers to one who has lost his sense. Here is an example. The father shamelessly asked his son to exchange youth for old age. Of course, the entire world is under such illusion. Therefore, it is said that everyone is pramatta or exclusively mad. Nunam pramatta kurute vikarma. When one becomes almost like a madman, he indulges in sex and sense gratification. Sex and sense gratification can be controlled, however, and one achieves perfection when he has no desire for sex. This is possible only when one is fully Krishna conscious. Yada vadhi mama cheta Krishna padara vinde. नव नव रस धामे उद्धयतम रंतुम असित तदावधि बात नारी संगमे स्मरये माने भवंती मुख विकार स्तु निष्ठिवम च। सिंस आई हैव बीन एंगेज्ड इन ट्रांसेंडेंटल लविंग सर्विस ऑफ कृष्णा, रियलाइजिंग एवर न्यू प्लेजर इन हिम, वेन एवर आई थिंक ऑफ सेक्स प्लेजर आई स्पिट एट द थॉट एंड माई लिप्स कर्ल इन दिस टेस्ट। Sexual desire can be stopped only when one is fully Krishna conscious and not otherwise. As long as one has desire for sex, one must change his body and transmigrate from one body to another to enjoy sex in different species or forms. But although the form may differ, the business of sex is the same. Therefore it is said, Punha punas charvita charvananam. Those who are very much attached to sex transmigrate from one body to another with the same business of chewing the chewed, tasting sex enjoyment as dog, sex enjoyment as a hog, sex enjoyment as a demigod, and so on.
Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmay Shri Guruve Namaha.
Hare Krishna. So, the story is taking wonderful turns every discussion. It has wonderful way of operation. Every verse has a new story in it. And as we see now, that after Shukracharya has cursed King Yayati, Shukracharya means one who is expert in discharging semen. very powerful sage, the spiritual master of all the demons, has to be very powerful. And he has cursed him that because of the way story was, that his daughter was very much aggrieved because of the behavior of her husband Yayati. So he cursed that because you have caused my daughter so much trouble because of your behavior with some other lady, I curse you that you become invalid and old. So Srimad Bhagavatam, as we see the way the whole story is, this is the ninth canto. In the next six chapters, we are going to reach this tenth canto, which is the sum and bonum, the crest jewel of the Bhagavatam. So we are just six chapters away, but still Bhagavatam is talking about situations which are very, very human-like, which happens, which is very normal, mundane situations. Now that is the greatness of great things. Why are great people, or why is a great thing great? Not because it maintains his greatness, but it comes to a particular level of the audience or of the person that they are interacting with, operates on that level to bring that person from that level to a higher level. To show somebody's greatness by posing to be great is not very great. What you attract is just some wow, he's a great man, or he's a great person, or this is a great book. Suppose a book talks about very high, lofty principles of spirituality or of morality or of any subject that you are reading, and all you can say is it is a wonderful thing, but I can't do it. Then that book didn't serve much purpose except for getting some praise, or except for a person saying that he operates on a very high level, talks very high level things. He attracts a lot of praise, a lot of appreciation, but people say, well, you know, he's great, I'm not, so I can't do it. But Bhagavatam, even though it is called the Amala Purana, the Paramhansa Samhita, the spotless Purana, the Purana which is relished by Paramhansas, still it comes to a very, very human-like level to really uplift us from that level, to take us to a high level. And what, not some ordinary level, it takes us to the highest level of spirituality, of prema pumarto mahan, of unalloyed, undivided, unmotivated devotional service. Can you imagine what caliber Bhagavatam has? And if it was just a scripture which talked about very high, lofty principles of spirituality without addressing the human-like or human tendencies, what would we have done? We would have just discussed it and we would have appreciated it, but without really finding some connection to it. Now here is a great soul, King Yayati. I mean, you know, cannot be an ordinary person in a dynasty of his. Lord Krishna is going to take his birth very soon. Krishna says in the seventh canto that he told Prahlad Maharaj that 21 generations are delivered. When a pure devotee appears in a particular family, it is not the glory only of that person, but the whole generations and generations are delivered. So the importance is given to generations also equally. Even though that person might not know that my great grandson, and he might just find himself into a different situation, a divine situation, because of somebody's greatness. So what to talk about a generation in which Lord Krishna is going to appear? It has to be a super excellent, super fantastic generation. That lineage.
So this is, that was the lineage of King Yayati. But see the situation of King Yayati. Extremely human-like. In fact, sometimes I feel it was subhuman. A normal human of Kali Yuga would also not do this. As we discussed, we will come. So Bhagavatam, as I was analyzing, we see so much of in activities happening of construction nowadays all around. Right? And we see that huge diggers, you know, they go deep down, and from the deepest part, just removes the dirt and throws it. Goes right deep down, especially if you have to dig a very deep foundation for a building, for example. It has to go really deep, remove the dirt in a systematic way, up and throw it for a strong foundation. Because something very big is going to be built there. And for that, a very deep, strong foundation is required. Similarly, Bhagavatam is like that powerful digger. It goes deep into the crevices of our heart and removes all the dirt that could be there, that is there. Removes it out and throws it by its narrations so that we can build a powerful foundation for a tall spiritual life. That is Bhagavatam. So in this, King Yayati is a great soul. But he's, I mean, you know, the way the story is unfolding is operating in a very, very human way. What has happened is Sukracharya gave blessings or benediction to Yayati. He said, Yayati said, well, please don't do this. If I become invalid, what will I do? Because youth is very important for sense gratifiers. When you are young, you can do so many things. Practically all enjoyment is surrounded around your youth. Because you are attractive, you are strong, you are so many things. But if you lose your youth, it is like it's just disconnecting the main wire. There could be other wires, but the main wire is disconnected. You can't enjoy. If the youth is taken away, you can't enjoy. You might have money, you might have everything, but you can't enjoy. So Shukracharya just cut the main wire of Yayati. That you take away your youth. And he said, what will I do without my youth? If I become an old man suddenly. Now he didn't think about what will I do? What will my kingdom do? How will I rule them? No, he didn't think that way. He said, how will I enjoy? And he begged him, please, please don't do this. And Shukracharya, he was also thinking in a very motivated way. It's because if Yayati loses his youth, how will his daughter satisfy her sexual desires? She had her quota of desires, which had to be fulfilled by him. So he said, what he realized, what I have done is actually I have cursed my own daughter. He realized that, oh, this is what I have done. So he gave a benediction. A motivated benediction. Because his motivation was not to just, you know, make Yayati feel good or make things good for him. But his benediction was for the purpose of making his daughter happy. He said, okay, you know, whatever I've spoken, I can't take it back. But if you can exchange your old age, exchange system, you know, this is what is Yayati syndrome all over. Old age throwing and taking new things. This Yayati syndrome, exchange offers. We see all around the world now. So he said, if you can exchange, then you can, you know. So what he indirectly was saying, that you can exchange with somebody who is young, and the best choice is your own children. So this is a benediction. So what is a benediction? What is a blessing? When do we need blessings? Many times we go, especially exam time is going on right now. The students, they go to temples, they touch their elders' feet for blessings. Because blessings is required when things are hopeless. Is it not? when you lose hope, when there's nothing to do, when you realize that I can't do anything on my own, or I need some external intervention in my life, then you seek blessings. You seek blessing of the Lord, seek blessing of the seniors. So blessings creates hope in hopelessness. Is it not? But sometimes it is good to not receive blessings. Because when we are hopeless, we become more surrendered to Krishna, because we realize Krishna is the only hope. What is happening in this situation? Just imagine the benediction of Sukracharya. Let's analyze it. Is it really a benediction? Is it really a blessing? What is it doing to Yayati? Yayati is currently in a hopeless situation. He is going to become old suddenly. In a matter of moments, he is going to become old. What takes all of us 30, 40, 50 years, and it is a slow process. We don't realize it. Our hair's getting white. So one fine day, I think all of you should, when you saw your first white hair, what happened to you? Of course, all of you are sadhus. Nothing must have happened to you. But I'm talking about myself. When I saw my first, oh my God. And this first white hair. And that means, you know, something is happening. I'm getting old. When one of the actresses saw her, when she saw her first white hair and first wrinkles on her face, she was depressed. It took close to 5 to 6 years to really, you know, get her back from depression and really, I mean, program her mind and design her body to not get depressed and to continue her profession. So we feel depressed. So Yayati was suddenly going to become old. So he was in a hopeless situation. But this benediction, I would say, this so-called benediction or blessing of Sukracharya gave hope to Yayati. Hope for what? Not hope for something divine, but hope for sense gratification. So this is not a blessing or a benediction. It's actually a curse. When the great souls, the great real souls, when they curse you, that's actually a blessing. When Narad Muni cursed the two brothers, Nalakuvera and Manigriv, they were in a similar situation. They were enjoying. And he cursed that you become trees. But was it a curse? It was Narad Muni created a hopeless situation for them to become trees. There is no hope. But actually in that hopelessness was real hope in the form of Krishna appearing. But in the so-called blessings of Sukracharya, because he was what his name is, expert in, and not a great soul, his blessings was not actually a blessing. Actually it was a curse on Yayati. Of course, Bhagavatam would have been completely different, the ninth canto, if Sukracharya would have not given these blessings. If Yayati would have been hopeless old man, we don't know what would have happened. It would have been a different scenario. But as the story says, it gave him hope. Yayati became very hopeful, very energetic, very blissful, that yes, now I have some hope. There's the gleam of hope in my life, that if all I have to find is find somebody who can exchange and I can again enjoy sense gratification. So this is the situation of Maya. When she gives us blessings, so-called blessings, by giving us a big house, giving us a good job, giving us some name, fame, address and distinction, we feel, oh, it is so nice. Sukhi raho. Tumhara kutumba bada hoye. Whatever different blessings people give, we feel it is a nice blessing. But actually, it is a curse. If we don't see it in a Krishna conscious way, of course. If we just see that as a great thing, oh, wonderful, I've got a nice job, I've got a nice, I mean, bank balance, I've got a nice good business, I've got a nice beautiful wife, a nice beautiful husband, or I've got some very, very powerful position. That creates a hope in a hopeless situation of the material world. Hope for enjoyment. That after all, it is not such a bad place. Samsara lagilo bhalo. We find the material world to be a nice place, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes in his law. He said, Swajana Palana, whatever the, all the people he was talking about is when he was a child, when they took good care of me, and they were just cuddling me, and they, everything was very nice. I realized that actually it's not a, such a bad place, material world. It is a nice place. Samsara lagilo bhalo. I felt very nice in this place. So we all get this hope, like Yayati, that is actually a good place. This phantasmagoria, recently we went through in the last week of cricket. It is such an illusion of things being nice. Actually, we, from the spiritual perspective, all these sports and all these entertaining events are actually illusion. Because it is why it is illusion? Because it is not helping us to achieve our purpose of life. But the strange thing about nowadays, the illusion is that there is an illusion in an illusion. Because these matches are not really played as sports. They are played as some business. So what people are seeing is actually an illusion. And it is an illusion in an already existing illusion. And we feel very happy about it. Samsara lagilo. It is a nice place. India is one. It is a great thing. You know, everybody is very happy. Everybody is very happy. It creates a glimpse of hope in this hopeless world. It's very dangerous. Because what happens when we get this hope in this material world? We will see what happened to Yayati. It is not explained, but I'm sure Yayati, once he got this benediction, he must have first thing ran. I don't think he waited. He must have ran to his eldest son. First thing. And this is what he spoke. This is what the next verse is. My dear son. I am not yet satisfied in my sexual desires, but if you are kind to me, you can take the old age given by your maternal grandfather and I can take your youth so that I may enjoy life for a few more years. And of course, we will quite try to dissect this particular verse because it's very, very instructive verse. You know, we'll dissect into small points. But before we begin dissecting it, we are right now in Kali Yuga. Of course, it is not the peak of Kali Yuga, but it is quite a powerful Kali Yuga, that age that we are living in. We see all the Kali Yuga syndromes, all the Kali Yuga symptoms, all the Kali Yuga symptoms all around. But still, we still find parents sacrificing for their children. That trait is very strongly still present in parents. They have desires to enjoy, but when it comes to their children, they will do anything for their child. You know, we know of I mean, in the old days, we used to see movies. You know, where a person, his son wants to study, and he has no money. He will do anything. He'll beg, borrow, steal, do what? To make his son study. So the son can do anything for the son, do anything for the children. And not only son, daughters also. Children. Anything. That is the nature of parents, to sacrifice. To give up their desire of enjoyment for the children's pleasure. It is still very strongly present all over the world, is it not? We see parents everywhere sacrificing for their children, working hard, slogging to their children get good education. I might eat a very meager food, but my child should study. He should go into a good English. You find people having ordinary jobs, but their children going to good schools. They slog it out. They take huge loans. Why? So that my children gets good education. Why? I don't mind getting myself rubbed and sacrificed, but my children should be happy. That principle is still very strongly present. But just imagine what sort of bewilderment that Yayati was. And this we are talking about many, many thousands and thousands of years ago. Yayati was so overwhelmed by the desire to enjoy sense gratification that the natural propensity of a parent to sacrifice was also forgotten by him. As Prabhupada says, he becomes so shameless. And he speaks these words. He starts the words by, "My dear son." Now, is this what you do to your dear son? What he's about to speak doesn't show his dearness. So he becomes, so he said, "My dear son, I am not yet satisfied with my sexual desires." This shows his shamelessness. You're talking to your son. The son has, I mean, you have given birth to this person. He looks upon you as a senior, as somebody who can guide him in his life. And you are very shamelessly saying, "My dear son, I am yet not satisfied my sexual desires. But if you are kind to me, please be kind to me and take away my old age, so I can enjoy youth and enjoy life for few more years. So for my few more years of enjoyment, oh my dear son, you give up your enjoyment." So this statement is filled with shallowness, self-centeredness, shamelessness, and stupidity. There's four things. The four S's, which makes us an ass. The four S's that makes us an ass. Shamelessness, shallowness, self-centeredness, and stupidity. Shallowness, because the word dear shows the shallowness of King Yayati. The shallowness of his character. The word dear. It is very, very, muscovying word, as we say, buttering word. "My dear," and then you get your desires fulfilled. The self-centeredness is that you suffer and I enjoy. That is the self-centeredness of a person. And to show shamelessly your fallen condition in front of your junior. Okay, there's one thing is that, well, I am open, I am very, very honest with my situation. That is one thing, to be honest and frank. But there has to be some limit to your shamelessness. Nowadays, the father and the son, they eat, they drink alcohol together. They see all sorts of obnoxious things together. That is shameful. They say, "Well, I'm, my son or my children are my friends. I do everything together with them." But that's not togetherness. That's not friendship. It's shamelessness. And stupidity. Prabhupada says in this, "Nunam pramatta." Pramatta means mad. Prabhupada here, he says, nowhere in the Bhagavatam he has translated pramatta. Sometimes he has said very much mad. But here he has said exclusively mad. This is the only place in Bhagavatam where he has translated pramatta as exclusively mad. I mean, he's completely mad, nothing else. He's completely mad. Nunam pramatta krute vikarma. So Yayati was pramatta. Matta means, completely intoxicated. Pramatta means completely intoxicated by his shamelessness. And Prabhupada writes a very, very fantastic purport, giving us understanding about how dangerous is this desire for sex life is. It doesn't leave us. It is not that sex life will go away as the time passes. Prabhupada says very clearly, it is possible only when one is fully Krishna conscious. Fully Krishna conscious and no other way. And then Prabhupada quotes the famous verse. Very, very special to quote this verse on Ramanujacharya's Appearance Day. The verse, one of the most famous verses Prabhupada quotes so often of Shripad Yamunacharya. Very, very important verse for all of us to meditate upon. As a wonderful glorification of Ramanujacharya and Yamunacharya. He says this verse that, "Since I have been engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord." The background, we all know, that Yamunacharya had a wonderful life in the Gurukul. Then he became a powerful king, where he was mad or pramatta in sense gratification. before, I think Nathamuni came in his life. Nathamuni, right? Nathamuni came in his life and he gave him the highest treasure in the form of the darshan of Sri Ranganath ji. It's a whole beautiful story. And then Sri Yamunacharya realized where he is. What a sorry situation he was in. So he's saying, since I have engaged, because he was not always engaged. There was a point in time we started to engage in this loving service of the Lord, realizing ever new pleasure in him. Nava rasa. Realizing newer and newer pleasures in serving Lord Krishna. When I get the thought of sex life, because of his previous conditioning, because of all our previous conditioning, we would be haunted. The right word used is, we'll be haunted by this ghost of previous conditionings. We all get haunted, isn't it? We all get terribly haunted. Whether it is opposite sex, or it is some bad desires that we have, or it is association with with what we have seen in our life, or the way we have behaved in our life, it really affects us. It gets haunts us. So Yamunacharya was haunted now again and again. Even though he was a sadhu, he was a practicing sadhu, he was haunted. But how did he respond? Because he was having this newer and newer rasa, newer and newer pleasure in serving Krishna. How was he saying that ever since I got this new rasa of serving Krishna, when I get a thought of sex life, I spit at the thought. Spit at the thought. That's really graphic. And Prabhupada, when he quoted this verse, I was reading the lectures Prabhupada gave, and he used the verse and used the translation. Prabhupada would actually speak to give us understanding that sex life is actually, when do we spit at something? When it is obnoxious. When it's disgusting. Yeah. So Yamunacharya was having that feeling for sex life. From a stage of being attached to the stage of being completely disgusted. Not detached yet, by the way. He was not, we might not get detached by the thoughts. But we should, how you relate to the thoughts is very important. Because many times devotees, they feel, why am I getting these thoughts? Why am I not yet detached? Well, detachment comes later. First comes the disgust. There is some attachment, but that attachment should lead to disgust and not to pleasure. Now, all of us are in this situation. Now, we are all practicing devotees and we get haunted by our desires for sense gratification. But this is, I remember one of the lectures His Holiness Radhananda Maharaj was giving, that this behavior of Yamunacharya teaches us how a serious devotee responds to his desires and how an ordinary person responds to desires. That is what gives us understanding whether somebody is serious or not. What does he do with his desires? It is not that desires don't come, Maharaj was explaining. Desires will come. Even at a very, very advanced stage of Krishna consciousness, you might get the desires of sense gratification. But what you do with your desires is what makes you a great devotee or ordinary devotee. So Yamunacharya says that I spit at the thought and my lips curl in distaste as if you have eaten something very bitter. When do your lips curl in distaste? Like lips, when they curl, if you see, when do your lips curl? When you take something very bitter, then lips curl. So when that thought was so bitter for Yamunacharya, that lips curl in distaste. So this is very important. Prabhupada writes in the last, very, very interesting, that the business of sex, this is the business of sex life. What is the business of sex life? Prabhupada writes in one more purport, the business of sex life is, it is very hackneyed. Very nice word. I went to the dictionary and said, what is the meaning of hackneyed? You heard this word, right? Hackneyed. Hackneyed means over familiar through overuse. Over familiar through overuse. Basically, it is all about chewing the chewed. Chewing the chewed. The only thing chewing the chewed is used is to cause trouble to others. What do we do with the so-called chewing gums that we chew and we no more have the taste in it anymore? We throw it, and wherever we throw it, it causes disturbance to the person who steps on it, right? And many times you're walking and you find something sticky. And this chewing gum is so sticky that you can't even remove it with your fingers. You have to scrape it out. It is horrible. And it's used to really cause trouble to so many things. We'd use it in school very often, right? This is chewing the chewed is exclusively used to cause trouble to others. And that is the hackneedness of sex desire. It causes simply trouble. And to understand this situation, somebody has invented the chewing gum for all of us to understand what is all about. Chewing the chewed. At least, you know, the sugarcane juice, when you remove it, it can still be used somewhere. So it is not an ideal example of chewing the chewed. But a chewing gum is a perfect example. It cannot be, it causes somebody trouble. So this is the situation of a person. And it is many times we feel that as time will go by, I will get rid of these desires. I'll get rid. But it doesn't happen that way. As the age advances, I'm talking about the gross sex life. It is not that we can give up this sex life as the age advances. It becomes more intense if you are not really worked upon controlling it. Old age is a very amazing thing. You know, I was just reading one small passage, and there were three old people who came together. Varishta Sammelan, whatever. Three people came together. And one was 70 years old, other was 80, and one was 90. And they had to share their own, realizations about their life. So 70-year-old man said, "Well, what to do? I cannot pass water. You know, it's a big problem for me to pass water." The 80-year-old man said, "Well, I don't have that problem, but I can't pass stool." I don't have that problem, but I can't pass stool. The 90-year-old man said, "Well, I don't have any problem of anything. Every day I pass stool and urine. I pass stool at 7:30, I pass urine at 8:30, and I get up at 9 o'clock. Because he can't control it. As the age advances, you can't control things. It becomes more and more and more intense. So similarly, I was just analyzing that how does this relate to all of us? You know, we all know very, 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 very clearly we have been bombarded from the beginning days of Krishna consciousness. You know, that dhyato vishan pungsa sangate suprajayate sanga sangate kama kama krodha bijayate. And this was one of the first verses we all have heard, that by contemplating observe senses one get attached, from attachment comes lust and lust and greed and lust and anger and everything happens in bewilderment of memory. So we all are very much conscious of the detrimental effects of desire for sex life. No doubt. We all are very sure. And because of Krishna consciousness, many of us, we can't be sure because there are great souls who are prey to these desires of sex life. But we are to some extent able to overcome this desire. Is it not? We suffer, but we are not really, deep involved in this desires. We are struggling and safely fighting against these desires. But the main problem happens when we are dealing with our subtle sex life. That is a bigger problem. And what is this yayati syndrome of desire for sense gratification and exchanging his old age with the youth of his son? How does it apply to all of us? What do we learn as a take-home point from this story? Definitely one of the take-home point is that we should be very much particular to say no to sex desire. No doubt. That is one of the important take-home points. But one of the another important points is, how does it relate to us? All of us, when we are trying to get name, fame, adoration and distinction at the cost of our juniors, it is the yayati syndrome. As devotees, we get certain position
a certain area of control, certain people of control, juniors who look upon us for guidance. But if the desire for sense gratification is not gone, the subtle sense gratification, the desire for name, fame, adoration, distinction is not gone, then we will use our juniors. That means you will exchange their good qualities for our self-glorification. What it means? For example, a counselor or a preacher has X number of people under him, and they slog and they work hard to distribute books. And the name comes of so-and-so counselor or so-and-so preacher, and you feel very nice, people glorify you, and you accept the glorification. That is detrimental. That is the yayati syndrome. You are accepting what belongs to somebody for your own self-glorification. And it happens in all of us. We do this very often. We take glory when it is not due to us, when due to somebody else. It is important to be simple and honest and be very frank to tell that it is not my glory. It is the glory of my juniors. They are wonderful. Srila Prabhupada was such an amazing leader. He saw his juniors if Prabhupada wanted to control, how much he could control? And he had practically a huge number of foreign disciples, money, power, estates to control, is it not? Mansions, manors. He was given manors. And what is a manor? Manor is a palace. He was given palaces under his. He could have controlled, but he simply saw everything. He saw his disciples as representatives of his spiritual master. Somebody who has been sent by his spiritual master to assist him in his service. That is the right way of seeing things. But when we have this Pondraka-like facade, you all know what is Pondraka. Pondraka means false Krishna. But when you have this Pondraka-like facade of seniority, and we find great pleasure in getting the glorification, and we will get glorification. Maya will arrange for unlimited glorification, and we will feel very comfortable in it, then be sure we are in the yayati situation. We are in a very obnoxious, very dangerous situation. And another way this syndrome of yayati, the yayati syndrome can manifest, is not allowing our juniors to grow and completely keeping the juniors in control. Because I am the boss. Nobody can overpower me. I will and I will remain the boss. And in different ways, in a manipulative way, we make sure that we remain on a superior position. That is, because it is a sign of a very insecure leader when he doesn't allow his juniors to grow, but it's also a sign of very self-centeredness, shamelessness of a leader, not allowing the juniors to grow. So this is what is important, to make sure that we are not suffering from this yayati syndrome of controlling our juniors and taking what belongs to them, not giving it to them, but taking it in exchange and keeping them completely always in control. Taking their glory, that means taking their youth away, and giving our old age, that means giving our control, bring mentality to them. Is it not? Does it not mean the same thing when you want to control the juniors? And Krishna is extremely disgusted with this. Amanina mana dena kirtanya sadahari. This verse is a verse which the Lord has told us to wear it around our neck. Amanina mana dena. That we expect no respect for oneself and give all respect to others. When we have respect, then there is no self-centeredness. And this was shown to the most amazing extent in the life of Ramanujacharya. Ramanujacharya, there are so many amazing stories. I mean, this whole life, every second of his life was simply a wonderful point of pastimes.
But one story which is very much connected to the discussion that we are making, of what is the solution to this Yayati syndrome of the desire for sense gratification at the cost of others. What is the solution for that? The solution is to develop such a higher taste of Krishna consciousness that when we are Krishna conscious, the natural outcome of Krishna consciousness is that we have this desire to sacrifice for others. It is in giving that we receive. It is not in receiving that we receive. It is in giving that we receive, Jesus Christ said. So Ramanujacharya, he went to such an extent of suffering for the rest of his life to give pleasure to others. We went to this place. Prabhuji, which place was that? Where he shouted from the terrace? Tirukostayur. What amazing place. And by the Lord's arrangement, we all had waited in a long queues. So we could appreciate those place much more intensely. Right? We all went, were standing in long queues. And you know, the shower, the drizzle of Ramanujacharya's mercy was also happening at that time on all of us. We all waited in long queues and we saw that very special place in midst of nowhere. It is all a open place and there's a beautiful temple being erected. It was a very special pastime. Ramanujacharya was given this mantra, Om Namo Narayanaya. It was a very special mantra given by who gave this mantra? Goshtipurna, correct. Goshtipurna gave this mantra to him. And he said, and it took a long time for Goshtipurna to give this mantra to Ramanujacharya. After a lot of effort and a lot of sending him back, he said, okay, I'm giving this mantra, but at one cost, do not give this mantra to anybody. It is very, very special mantra. Nobody else is qualified. I'm just giving it to you. But this mantra will take you back to Godhead. We're going to chant this mantra. And Ramanujacharya got this mantra. And then he goes to the rooftop. And Goshtipurna was very serious when he gave this. This is the condition. TNC, terms and conditions apply, right? There was an asterisk mark clearly when he gave this mantra, asterisk marked. Terms and conditions. What are the terms? That you cannot give this mantra to anybody. He goes straight. Not that he chanted his mantra for some time. He went straight to the rooftop. Rooftop means so that everybody could hear. That place is still there. We could see that place. That's the very glorious place. The place of the mood of compassion of Ramanujacharya. The place which shows something completely opposite to self-centeredness. Selflessness. The supreme selflessness of Ramanujacharya. He stood at a place and he shouted, please all of you come. All the villagers come. And you know, there were so many people who were not qualified, so many sense gratifiers, so many mundane, jnanis, you know, wranglers of philosophy. They all came. None of them were qualified. And he gave this, please all of you chant this mantra. And he shouted, Om Namo Narayanaya. And everybody was chanting, the whole town was chanting, Om Namo Narayanaya. A secret mantra was given openly to everybody. And the guru was very angry, to cut the story short. He said, what have you done? You're going to go to hell for the rest of your life. For the rest of your life, you're going to go to hell. I said, I knew it, Gurudev. I knew it. I'm going to go to hell to disregard your order. What else would happen? Now, what is the second offense to third offense? To disobey the order of a spiritual master is a third offense to the holy name. A serious offense. But Ramanujacharya committed that offense. Actually committed it. But it has a great higher purpose. It was driven by selflessness and not by selfishness. And when Goshtipurna heard this, he said, he was amazed to see the selflessness of Ramanujacharya. Similarly, we read in the story of Krishna and the gopis. They're ready to give their dust to Krishna to satisfy, to take care of his headache for even for a second. And they are ready to go to hell for eternity. 1 second of peace to Krishna's headache, ready to go for eternity to hell. Selflessness. The only solution to selflessness is selflessness. And selflessness is such a divine quality which cannot be cultivated, but it is a gift of God based on the practice of a sadhaka. You can't cultivate selflessness. You can't say, okay, from today I'll become selfless. You cannot. It is a quality which is driven from the heart. It grows in the heart. When the heart is fertile, all these divine qualities grow in the heart. Right? And when does the heart become fertile? When it has been watered by Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada said very clearly, this is possible only when one is not Krishna conscious, when one is fully Krishna conscious. 100% Krishna consciousness. So this is what we want to achieve. Every year, you know, I go to different villages of Braj for doing publicity for the eye camp that we have. We do eye camps in Barsana. So we go to different villages, 120, 130 villages around. And it is such an amazing experience. We have been doing this for the last couple of years. Every year we go there, in the deep villages of Braj, very deep. And the common sight, we go to the cities, like I remember many years back I went to Singapore. And in Singapore, the sight that you see at 6:30 in the morning, everybody is coming out of the house wearing their office clothes, tuck, 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 with their high heels, going for work. They're all busy people. This is a sight in the cities. 7 o'clock, people are running. And completely contrary to that, when I go to these villages, when I go to a village at 8 o'clock in the morning, or 11 o'clock, or 2 o'clock, or 4 o'clock, anytime I go, people are on their khatiyas, you know, the khat. They're sleeping on their khatiyas, you know, and just enjoying. I mean, just daydreaming. Not doing anything. With peacocks around, parrots chirping, and they were just relaxed. They don't do anything. Many of them, they chant Radhe Radhe and Krishna Krishna, but some of them are just relaxed. They do nothing. So once I saw this, I said, I was so tempted. I said, Prabhu, aap log, very stupid of me to say this, but of course, I got a very divine answer. I asked one person who was a young man, not that he was an old man, young man in his early 20s. So what do you expect of a young man in his early 20s to do at 12 o'clock in the afternoon? He should be doing work, right? He should be working. Young man, he should be productive. He was lying on the khatiya very, very peacefully. And with peacocks all around. I said, Prabhuji, aapko kuch kaam, aap na kaam nahi karte ho. Don't you do any work? So I got a very powerful answer. And all of us, I was shocked, and I'm sure all of you will be. He said, jisko kaam hai, usko kaam karna padta hai. Those who have kaam, lust, they have to work. Hum, Brajbasi ko kaam kaam kuch karna nahi hota hai. Bhagwan dete humko. Krishna provides. This lust is what is making us crazy. This famous example, Prabhupada sitting on the chariot at New York, Devamrita Swami was saying, right? He was sitting and he told one young sannyasi that, aren't this women of New York very beautiful? So the young sannyasi was holding his danda very tight. I said, he can't say yes also. He was a young sannyasi. He can't say yes, Prabhupada, yes. He was wondering, what do I reply? So he didn't reply anything. Prabhupada said, don't you think these women are very beautiful? The sannyasi, I don't know what he did. Prabhupada said, they are very beautiful. And that's why you see all these big buildings. The men are building these big, big buildings to attract these women because they are very beautiful. Their beauty is the cause of all these big, big buildings. Very, very instructive. This is what drives the world. The sex desire. So let us really understand that in the mood of Ramanujacharya, in the mood of Yamunacharya, let us become completely disgusted with the sex desire, and let us live our life in complete selflessness to Krishna's service, and be sure that we are never lording it over our juniors, and we are simply a humble, always in the mood of being humble servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord and His devotees. Thank you very, very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions? It's quite late, so we'll end. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki, Srila Prabhupad Ki, Shripad Ramanujacharya Abhirbhav Mahotsav Ki, Shri Jamunacharya Dev Ki. Yeah.